Good morning. It's great to be here. If you're new, welcome. Great to see you. Welcome to our church. Thank you, music team. Isn't it great to be able to declare some great truths to God, to encourage each other on the journey, declaring great truths about who God is and what he's done for us. Have you ever been reading a passage of scripture and the thought comes to your mind, wow, this could be life transforming? As I've been reading through this passage today, or not today, throughout this week, couple of weeks, I've been thinking, if we as a church could actually get hold of this truth, if we could get it from here down to here, it would be life transforming. Are you ready for God to transform your life this morning? That's what he does. That's what he's in the business of, transforming lives. And he does it through his word as we read and understand, and through his spirit, he transforms our heart to be able to follow him. That's exciting. So let's pray together, pray with me, that God may be at work in our hearts. Father God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for the amazing love that you show each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you'll give me clarity in my thinking, in my speaking. I pray that our hearts may be open to your spirit to receive the truth that you declare through your word. I pray these things in your name. Amen. A couple of months ago, I had the opportunity to go down to Tasmania and to visit a few friends, and enjoying going on, I love bushwalks, going through the bush, just enjoying this God's wonderful creation. And I came across this wonderful big tree. It's a huge tree. This tree is called a brown top stringy bark tree. They say it's about 400 years old. Just think about that for a second. 400 years this tree's been standing there. And as I was standing there, being dwarfed by this tree that is, I think it's 16 meters around the bottom. That's huge. Being dwarfed by this tree, I was thinking, how on earth could this tree be standing so strong and tall for so long? 400 years. Could you imagine the storms that have come through Tasmania in that time? The wind that's been beating against it for the trials it's had in its life. How would a tree sustain such trials? How would this tree be able to stand? Well, the truth is, the foundation of a tree is the amazing soil in which it's planted. Tasmania has some great soil. Firm soil so that its roots can go down deep into this soil and grab hold so that it can stand firm in the midst of trials. It's the same with buildings. What makes a building so strong? It's its foundations. If anyone's done any building before, you know you've got to make sure your foundations are right so that your building will be able to stand firm. If your foundations are not strong, when the wind blows, when the rains pelt against this building, it will crack. It won't be sturdy. It will sway, bend, and even break when opposition comes against it. If you were to picture your life as a tree or as a building, what would you say is your foundations? What is your life built upon? What gives you strength and stability in your life when storms come your way? And they will if they have not yet come. But I'm sure we've all been through storms. What gives you strength? What gives you a firm foundation to be able to withstand when opposition comes your way? You know, on the surface, things may seem really good at times, but when trials come, our foundations are tested. Well, we've been working through the book of Colossians, and we're up to chapter 2. And as we've heard it read, thank you so much, it was so eloquently spoken. That was a wonderful reading. We see that there's some people who have come into this church who are trying to introduce human traditions, which even though may have sounded persuasive, in reality, they were to undermine and challenge the truth in which they have heard and received about Christ. So we see that Paul starts this section by reminding this church the important truth about who their foundation is, who they need to be building their life upon. He says this, "And now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." He says, "What you have declared at the beginning of your journey, when you heard about Jesus, you must outwork that, outwalk that in your life, not turning away from that. Living our lives as we have declared with Jesus as our Lord, Christ as our foundation." You know, back in chapter 1, we see that this is what Paul says. He says, "Yet now he," talking about God, "has reconciled you to himself." He has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. You see, this is the truth. This is the message of the gospel. It's all about what God has done through Christ. Jesus is the source of their salvation. And there's nothing at all that they need to do, nothing that they've done to earn this amazing gift, except declaring Jesus as Lord. That's why Paul says, as we continue in verse 7, he said, "Let your roots grow down into him, into Christ. Let your lives be built upon him." You see, with Christ as their foundation, their faith will be strengthened in the truth that they were taught. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, truth is found in Christ, who is the source of our salvation. Therefore, he and Christ is the one we are to trust, rather than what other people may say. You see, as a result of having their faith totally reliant upon Christ, their lives will then overflow with thankfulness. Their lives will be full of gratitude because of what Christ has done for them. And as he says in verse 10, their lives are complete through their union with Christ. Think about that. Their lives complete through their union with Christ. And why is this so important to understand? This is the foundation of our gospel. Why is Paul emphasizing this so much? Well, it's because he recognizes that there are people who are going to come and try to turn you away from that. People are going to come and try to persuade you that there's something else we need to do for God to love me, to be accepted, for my life to be complete by introducing human traditions. You see, what better way to rob people of joy than to make them think there's something missing in your life? To make them feel that you are missing the mark, therefore if you do this, then you'll be okay. Making them question, well, maybe if I added this to my life, then they'll be more acceptable to God and I'd feel complete. You know, this happens every time that we turn on the TV. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but every time you look at your phone, at an ad on your phone or the TV, what comes up? An ad telling you that, trying to sell you something you don't realize you need, but they tell you you do. Because if you have this, guess what? Your life will look like this. In other words, you're missing out. You didn't realize you needed that until you saw it, but now you think, wait a second, maybe if I do have this, well, then my life will be complete. And they put a beautiful picture of a car driving along the coast, and it's like, oh, wow, if I have that car, I'll be able to drive along the coast. Or if you're like me, if I have that four-wheel drive, I'll be able to go into that bushland and go through mud and have a great time. My life will be complete if I have that. That's what they're trying to sell you. You don't have it, therefore we can give it to you. The same can become when it comes to our relationship with God. People want to add something that we will think will make us complete, fulfilled, happy. Look what Paul says as he continues this, because it's so easy to be imprisoned by human traditions. He says, don't let anyone — these are pretty firm words, aren't they? — don't let anyone capture you, imprison you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than Christ. He continues on down in 16 verse to 18. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon festivals, sorry, ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only a shadow of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting in pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying that they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. A strong warning that Paul writes to this church. He wants to warn them, don't be captured, don't be imprisoned by human reasoning, by these traditions that people are trying to introduce. They may sound wise, yet they are nonsense. They are based on the basic principles of this world rather than centered in Christ. This warning of dangers of self-denial. These people, oh, if you just do all this stuff, deny yourself, do all this, then you'll be complete, then you'll be full. Now, the worship of angels, adding certain rules that people must follow to be complete. All they're doing is getting people's focus away from the foundation, which is Christ, to add in something in so that my life will be fulfilled. Paul says, don't go there. Don't be captured by this. You see, as soon as we need to add something to the work of Christ, it can quickly rob us of the joy that comes through following him. As soon as it can add rules to following him, places a burden upon people. And all burdens do is make you realize how far you're falling short. And we can never live up to what people want us to do to be right before God. Never. That's the burden, that's the rules. On the other hand, it can lead us to feel in a sense of pride. Look at me. Look how good I am. I go to church, I pray, I read my Bible, I do all this great stuff, I serve Monday, Tuesday, Friday. Look how good I am. Pious, proud. Look what I do. God is pleased with me because of what I do. It's so dangerous because neither of these have their life focused and centered upon Christ, who is our foundation. You know, we don't need to look too far today, do we, to see the same kind of things in our lives, in our community. People trying to paint the truth in a different light. Oh, there's no such thing as ultimate truth. Oh, this is my truth. Getting our focus away from what Christ says. He says, I am the truth. Trying to distract our focus, subtly and sometimes not so subtly, adding to the work of Christ. Searching for completeness, wholeness, fulfillment, meaning, identity. The world is bombarding us all the time, trying to add things so that we feel complete. But they are focused and centered on human traditions, and they will never bring you freedom. Never. Because there's always something bigger and better to get, isn't there? There's always a new fad. There's always a new car. There's always a new phone. There's always something new. We're never fully complete. It just adds a burden to us that, oh, I'm not making it because I don't have that. Or I better try that out. You know, even some people are trying to mix match faiths or beliefs, trying to make sure they cover all bases just to make sure. You see, when we're not completely satisfied with the sufficient work of Christ, when we're not completely grounded in Him, it can be so easy to become a victim to alternative ideas and traditions. If our foundations are not secure in Christ, when something comes that is not the truth, it's easy for us to sway, to bend, and to crumble, losing the joy in which what Christ has come for us. When I was working in the hospital, I still remember this so clearly. I was sitting with this older lady who was passing. It was the last couple of days of her life. And I remember talking to her, and in the hospital you had to be very sensitive of what we spoke about, and we couldn't say things that was, we just had to be careful what we said. You understand, if you've done chaplaincy and things like that, you've got to be very sensitive to people. So I was just sitting with her, and I was letting her talk. There's no harm in that. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do. And as she spoke, I could see that there was a bit of fear in her life. And I could see that she was a bit worried about dying. So we started talking about that. And this lady, she told me how she was a faithful attender of church multiple times a week. All her life, she had been attending church. She understood about Jesus. She understood who he was and what he's done. And after a little bit of time, I said, are you 100% certain of where you'll go when you die? And she said, no. My heart broke. Here's this old lady who has been following the traditions of man, going to church, doing all this stuff, but yet she wasn't sure of her future. You see, sadly, this lady had an understanding. Her foundation was Christ plus what I can do, which will equal hopefully I'll be able to get to heaven when I die. There's no joy in that. There's no certainty in that. You know, some people may think it's a bit arrogant, don't you think, that we can have absolute certainty of our future. Well, this may be true if there was something I could add. But there's not. So it's not about me at all. It's not arrogant. It's because my salvation can be 100% certain in what Christ has done in the past, said in me, giving me a certainty for my future. That's not arrogance. That's trusting in someone else. And it's exactly what Paul wants the church to understand. How we can have freedom in Christ. All this stuff that people want to burden us with, Christ says, I'm going to take it away. Because I am the one who gives you life. Look what he goes on to talk about. He says, "You are," verse 10, "you are complete through your union with Christ." There's nothing to add. Completeness, wholeness, 100% in Christ. Verse 11, "you have been spiritually circumcised." You know, circumcision is no longer this physical act, rather a spiritual reality, cutting away the sinful nature that once held us captive. The dominion, the reign of sin over our lives has been defeated. It's gone. It's cut away. It's no longer our master. The curse of sin no longer has a hold on us. He says, "we have been buried and raised with Christ." Verse 12. We were dead because of our sin. Death is such a big statement, isn't it? Dead is dead. If you're dead, you can do nothing. There's nothing you can do. You can't make decisions. You can't do anything. You are dead because of your sin. But Christ makes you alive. It's not by works. It's what Christ has done for those who put their trust in him. It says that he has forgiven our sin. Since the time of Adam and Eve, when they rebelled against God, the consequence for sin was physical death, but also a spiritual death. This intimate relationship that they had with God was torn apart. It was broken. Sin causes separation. But through Christ's death, he took the punishment for our sin, opening up the way for us to have our sins cancelled, gone. They're gone. That's over. As we align ourselves with Christ, we've been brought from death to life. Our sins are forgiven. You know, in John 10:10, it says, "the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to keep us captive. But I," Jesus says, "have come that you may have life, abundant life, joyful life." That's what Jesus came. Verse 14, he's cancelled the written record that charges against us. I love that. Big stamp. Here's my list, my huge list of all the things I've done wrong. Massive list. This list would go for a long, long way. Jesus comes and goes, stamp, cancelled. Done. I stand before the judge. Jesus says, cancelled. All the wrong things. Imagine that. Carrying the weight and burden of our sin. Then Jesus comes along and goes, cancelled. Nobody can hold anything against you anymore. This is not a quick wave of the hand, it'll all be okay. No. It's because of what Jesus has done. His death, a huge price that's been paid for me, for you, to have our sins cancelled. What a wonderful thing that brings freedom rather than feeling guilty and shame. Some of you may know this great hymn, a great truth. Not the labours of my hand could fulfil thy Lord's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears ever flow? Or could never sin erase? Thou must save and save by grace. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to you for grace. Another great song that we sing. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. The cornerstone, the solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Wow. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Guys, we sing this, but do we believe it? Is it planted here in our hearts? Is this the foundation of our lives so that I'm living 100% certain about who I am, my identity, who I am in Christ, my future, so I can live in freedom for Him? Freedom in Christ. Paul finishes off, you have died with Christ. He has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. Therefore, why do you keep going back to it? Why do you keep going back there thinking that you need to do something to earn your salvation, or you need to do something to please and, you know, have God look upon you in a positive way? Don't go back there. Your identity is now in Christ. That's who your identity is. Don't slip back to human thinking, things that will lead you to imprisonment. These human traditions based on thinking, on human thinking rather than on Christ. So here's a few questions for you to think about. How do you apply this in your life? How do we as a church apply this? For you individually, what happens in our hearts, guys, filters into the church. Therefore, we need to make our hearts aright. If all of us have our foundations in Christ, that's going to be an amazing thing. Because He's going to be the center, not me, not you. Christ. Here's a few things to think about. Sorry, it's not quite big enough, is it? What's the foundation your life is built upon? Could I ask you, be honest? Don't just say the right answer that we want to hear. That makes you think I need to say that because that will make people think I'm right. No, let's be real. As you look at your life, what you do in life, is Christ your foundation? Do you serve Christ out of a sense of gratitude, just going, I'm just doing all for Christ because of what you've done for me? Or do you think that by doing a few things, it's going to make you closer with God in a better way, that He's going to think you're more important? People may say, oh, if you do this and this and this, fear and guilt's not a good thing, guys. Fear's okay if I'm walking down the track and I come across a snake. That's a good time to have fear. Get out of the road, quick. But it's a rotten thing to be mastered by. a rotten thing to be mastered by. Eventually, you'll just burn out and just go, oh, I've had enough. People do that when their lives are dominated by fear. They just give up because you can't do it. It's just such a weight to carry. Jesus says, plant your roots in me. That's freedom. You can serve me out of a heart of gratitude, of love. And when we're doing that, it's not about me. Big difference. Is your relationship with God based on trying to earn his approval or of gratitude for what he's done for you? You still trying to seek God's approval after all that Christ has done for you? I know sometimes I feel like that. Oh, I've let God down. Or I should do this or I should do that. No, don't do it out of fear and guilt. I've got God's approval. So do you. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. That's how much God loves you. That's done. But do we live thinking, oh, I feel guilty. Oh, I should do this. Oh, my life's not complete. Oh, if I just try something else, maybe that will help. Let's not take our focus away from Christ. Are you certain of your salvation in Christ? I don't want anyone here not to realize you can have 100% certainty of where you will go when you die. You can have that in Christ alone. Do you follow Jesus with freedom and gratitude? Is that the way you live? Is that what people see in your life? That there's this sense of joy that is just overflowing because of who you are, because of whose you are. That's what Paul wants his church to understand. This is what God's offering us. Freedom in Christ. Not freedom to go and do whatever I want. Freedom to serve him with gratitude. A heart that's open out of adoration for what God has done. That's what Paul is on offer. We're going to spend just a couple of minutes just now, quietly, self-reflecting of where you're at. It's a good time to do business with God. Why not do it now? If you're new here and you haven't actually accepted Jesus, if this is all new for you, I want to encourage you. Jesus has done everything possible for you to have a relationship with God. There's nothing you can do to try to earn that. If you think you've got to get to a certain place before God will accept you, that's a lie. God wants to come broken, empty. That's how God wants us to come to him. Saying, I need you. There's nothing I can do. I just need you. Humbly come to him. And he says, Christ has paid the price for you. Welcome into my family. He's inviting you this morning into his family so that you can be freed from the guilt, from shame, from the weight of sin, so that you can live in the freedom of Christ. That's what's on offer. And if you want to talk to someone about that, talk to someone you may know who's on that journey. Come and talk to me. I'd love to talk to you more about that. If you've been on the journey for a while and there's a few subtle things that have crept into your life thinking, oh, maybe there's just something more I can do, or maybe if I do that, I'll feel a little bit more spiritual, or whatever it is. Could I encourage you, get your focus back on Christ. Let him be the source of our salvation and nothing else. So I'm just going to give you a minute and then we're going to take communion together. But just silently, in your own heart, allow God to talk to us now.